if we follow the liturgy day by day, by now it's no secret that we're talking about a tumultuous transition from the way things are now to the way things will be when Christ the King reigns in glory. So the gospel today, as has been in the last couple of days, is all about things breaking down, falling apart, being punished, both human structures and natural structures, natural things like the sun, the moon, and the stars, the oceans. Now, some of this is figurative language, apocalyptic language, but the message is clear. In order to get to what we celebrated on Sunday, Christ the King, a lot of other kingdoms have to be gotten out of the way, and it's going to be a difficult transition. What's important is to know the whole picture. I've said this already this week, but I'll mention it again because Jesus himself teaches this. He doesn't tell us about the trials to come in order to frighten us or intimidate us or discourage us. He tells us so that when it happens, we will persevere until the end and reach the destination. The journey will be difficult, he makes that clear, but don't think that it's the end when you get to a difficult patch in the road. It will be difficult, but pass through it and you'll reach the goal. So that's really a way of understanding this. We can apply this lesson to the experience of the prophet Daniel in the first reading. Remember, Daniel had a very great insight into what God was up to. He himself was an exile. Daniel was an exile in Babylon, and he was kind of forced into service of the king. That was Nebuchadnezzar at the beginning. Then in yesterday's reading, the successor of Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar. In today's reading, another successor, this is King Darius, the Mede. If you remember the vision Nebuchadnezzar had of the terrifying statue, remember the head of gold, the chest of silver, the belly of bronze, I think it was, and iron. So this succession of kingdoms. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was an all-powerful king, head of gold. I'm not sure of the complete order here, but I think Belshazzar must have been the silver, the chest of silver, and this guy Darius is either the bronze or the iron, I don't know. But in other words, the kingdoms are getting successively weaker, as was prophesied. And here Darius, who is the king, he claims to have the power to make an irrevocable decree about religious practice. It's a pretty arrogant thing to do. But then when he wants to change it, he can't. So it shows that he's not all powerful. When his staff or whatever these courtiers are, come in and say, well, Daniel broke the law, so he has to be thrown to the lion's den. King Darius doesn't want to do it, but he can't overturn his own rule. King Nebuchadnezzar would not have had that problem. He would have said, you know, either you accept my law or you'll be killed. That's it. But Darius is intimidated by these lesser officials and he can't save Daniel. So he says, okay, well, I made a law that's irrevocable under Mede and Persian law, so I guess I'm helpless to save the poor guy. Throw him to the lions. Now, if you had gone to Daniel ahead of time and said, okay, Daniel, you're going to be a refugee, you're going to be in exile, you're going to be given a certain amount of privileges, but then jealous enemies will rise up and scheme against you. They will manipulate the law so that you will be seen as a lawbreaker, you will be persecuted, you will be arrested, you will be thrown to the lions. Well, Daniel would say, that's pretty bad news. That's too bad. But that's not the whole story. So when we hear the gospel saying, well, Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by armies and torn down and you're going to be persecuted and thrown into prison, we say, well, that's bad news. That sounds terrible. It's not the whole story. The story of Daniel is, yes, he's persecuted. He's under, his religious freedom is violated. He's thrown to the lion's den, and God was with him and rescued him. He comes out victorious, and the very ones who are his enemies are destroyed. So that tells us the whole picture. He has to pass through terrible torment, but in the end, he comes out victorious. And the God whom he serves is honored by Daniel's own faithfulness. So at the end of the reading here, the enemies are all chewed up by the lions, and the king, whose practice is to make irrevocable decrees, he says, okay, here's an irrevocable decree. The God of Daniel is to be reverenced and feared, for he is the living God, enduring forever, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be without end. He is a deliverer and savior, working signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, and he delivered Daniel from the lion's power. So the king made this decree that God is going to be honored forever and his kingdom will stand forever. That's an irrevocable decree. So you see, the message of the Daniel story is that, yes, there are times of trial, opposition, jealousy, persecution, but God's kingdom cannot be destroyed. So be faithful to God. This message is also Jesus' message when he's talking about the end of time or about the end of Jerusalem. Sometimes the focus gets shifted back and forth. End of Jerusalem, end of time, end of Jerusalem, end of time. Destruction of the temple, destruction of the whole cosmos. He shifts back and forth because one is symbolic of the other. But he says this is going to be one terrible experience. People will die of fright, but don't be afraid. Stand up. Stand up straight. Raise up your heads. Your redemption is at hand. The victory of God, the victory that he will bestow on his faithful people, is coming. So hold on. Don't be frightened or intimidated. Don't think that you've lost. Hold on in faith. Trust in God. Don't die of fright. Stand up straight. Hold up your head. Your redemption is at hand. So that's the whole picture. Now, we can apply it to any number of tragedies or problems in our own times. Political, economic, health, global pandemic, whatever. The rise of evil men or evil regimes, or in our own personal life. Betrayal, sickness, whatever it is. We should not be surprised that we have to pass through these things, but neither should we forget where we're going. What's our real destination? Christ is our King. We belong to Him. His kingdom will last forever. If we are faithful, He will certainly be faithful. He wants us to reign forever in glory.